us. But as you heard and you could see, we had this awesome week. Children learning about God through song and crafts and games, even snacks had a theme. We even told Bible stories like the two we had read and heard stories, videos of children living in Africa and Zambia. So we had this wide range of things to hear about God's love. And I know over the past several months, there might have been some concern with all the changes in this past year that somehow our outreach is diminished. But here's what I'd say to you this morning about that. It is different, but it's not diminished. If you did not know, 3/4 of the children who attended Vacation Bible School are not from this church. How about that? You know, we may not see them again until next year, but they heard about the love of Jesus. That's our job, to be in the community, to share the love of God. And it is amazing to see these kids to get excited about something other than video games. I'll be honest with you. They had a great morning 5 days this week. And we thank everybody who had a part in VBS this year. Who in here had a hand with VBS this year? Raise your hands higher so we can take a look around. And Amanda, our children's ministry director, we need to thank them for all that they did this week. This is really great stuff. And this year, our setting, as I told you, is the African savanna, where animals helped us learn about our lives and also the nature, the very nature of God. And as most of you know, if you've been here for a few years, you know that every year, I talk about VBS after the week we spent together. And there's always a catchphrase with some sort of response. So let's make sure this is the audience participation part of the service. This is to help you not fall asleep. So you got to be ready for this. So every day we had a different animal and a different kind of tagline. And Monday we began this way. When life is unfair, you would respond, God is good. So let's practice that. So when life is unfair,
God is good.
There you go. Now, that's good. But here's the problem. By the time I got to Wednesday, I didn't like the catchphrase anymore. I was done with it. There was like a total disconnect for me with the catchphrase. And maybe even our kids. I don't know. I didn't pull them. I just felt like it wasn't connecting for me. And so kind of the days of the week, we said when life is unfair, when life is scary, when life is full of changes, when life is sad. I kept going, but we kept repeating, but God is good. And that's, it's true. Don't get me wrong. That's a very true statement. But when life's going off the rails, it's hard to think to yourself, God is good. I mean, we know the phrase, God is good all the time and all the time. We know that, but it's hard to say when life isn't going so good, right? So I decided to rewrite the catchphrase for this morning. Better late than never, okay? So this is what we've replaced it with. So let's try it the new way. When life is unfair, God is with us. That's right. I think that's much better. What do you think, Robin? Is that a winner? Yes. I know it's late. I know VBS has ended, but we're at least going to do it on Sunday morning. And all of our kids who went to VBS from church will get to hear that this morning as well. So that's where we jumped in on Monday. That you don't need to be told as adults that life is sometimes unfair. I mean, we all know that things happen that shouldn't happen. A diagnosis, a broken relationship. Someone takes advantage of you in some way, shape, or form. Even something like a car breaking down in the middle of the week when all you wanted to do is have some lunch and go home. Things like that happen. Sometimes life is unfair. And when that happens, I'll be honest with you, the last thing I want to hear is, well, I'm sorry your life is so bad, but God is good. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is that God is with me, that God is walking with me through the unfairness of life. You know, I mean, when I think about this, that's, you know, when life is unfair, I'm circling dissatisfied. But if you have forgotten, I want to remind you this morning that Jesus is the King of unfair. See, we don't necessarily grapple with this too much, but there is nothing fair about the way God sees us and responds to us. We don't deserve the love that God lavishes upon us. I mean, deep down, you know, there are times when we're quite unlovable. We're selectively self-righteous. We like having our own way. We dislike those who are not like us or agree with us. And we often turn a blind eye to the problems of the world because they're not on our back porch. God's love for us is unfair because we don't deserve it. I mean, we've been looking at the book of Romans this summer, Paul's letter to the church of Rome, and next week we'll return to it again, but one of the themes that run through the letter is this: God accepts us. That's a theme that runs through Romans. Paul uses the word justifies, but it means the same thing. God accepts us. I got to tell you, long before St. Paul wrote that letter to the people of God, the world knew, at least those who believed in the one true God, already knew that God wasn't fair. I mean, we here know the good news of God's love, but if we go back in time, even before the time of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, who spoke God's words to anyone who would listen, he told us about the unfairness of God's love 700 years before Jesus. Listen to this. Let the people turn to the Lord, and God will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then here's what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I mean, if you don't think that's true, if you think that's just a bunch of nice words, remember Jesus. God himself subjected himself to an extreme amount of unfairness for our sakes. He didn't have to, but he did. He was falsely accused of things. He was beaten within an inch of his life, or as what we would call in the United States, he received cruel and unusual punishment. He was given the death penalty because the religious leaders found his message threatening to his power. Which, by the way, if you did not know, talking about love and kindness tends to make powerful people uncomfortable. Go through the list of martyrs and you will see that. Believe me when I tell you that Jesus knows unfair. But even more than that, don't forget that Jesus went through all that unfairness for us. He knows what we go through is hard, and he died because of unfairness, and he rose again so that he could walk with us and when we experience the same kind of troubles. So when we have a moment and we think to ourselves, life is unfair, we should also remember that God is unfair too. Now, we could apply this for the first 4 days of Vacation Bible School, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which were these themes, you know, when life is unfair, when life is scary, when life is full of changes, or when life is sad. Instead of saying God is good, we would say God is with us. And I think it's very true. See, if you are human, and from what I can tell, most of you are, that here's the thing. We're going to have ups and downs. And the plain truth of what we learned in Vacation Bible School, the plain truth of the good news of Jesus, is we never have to go it alone. But that's not all. I mean, that's a part of it, but that's not all. There is a deeper issue at play here. One that we would not even articulate at Vacation Bible School, but it's certainly a part of the conversation as I talk to all of you this morning. And it really begins with a question. What type of faith do you have? There's really two types of faith in the world. And the first one is this. Do you have a circumstantial faith? You know, a circumstantial faith is what I would call, and it's not, I'm not judging here, but it's an unformed faith. The type of faith that draws direct connections from the things that happen in the day-to-day life to how God views them at any single moment. So, for example, someone who has a circumstantial faith, when something bad happens, they would say, "Why is God doing this to me?" Which might even be a deeper question, is why does God hate me because all these bad things are happening? A circumstantial faith looks at every twist and turn, every bump in the road, somehow means that God is displeased with them as an individual. You know, God, why are you letting this happen? Which leads to two very concrete conclusions. When one has a circumstantial faith, one is either God is not good, or there isn't a God who is watching over us. A circumstantial faith will do damage to your trust in God. You say, "Well, God isn't good at all," or maybe there isn't even a God watching over us. So a circumstantial faith can be very hard on an individual with disastrous consequences. And here's why. Even if you still believe in God with a faith like this, you'd come to believe that God is fickle, you know, not consistent. And at that point, we would decide that a fickle God is not even worth following. But let me just add in a little bit more. If the expectation that following Jesus means that nothing bad will ever happen in our lives and our bank account should be full because we follow Jesus, we need to go to a different church. We need to go to one that preaches the prosperity gospel and a pastor who flies in a private plane. That would not be me. I fly coach. Besides, that's not how it works either. I mean, you've heard me say it hundreds of times. Life is messy. There's going to be dark valleys in our journey. There's going to be sadness, even some hardship. And the promise that Jesus made wasn't that he was going to remove every obstacle. The promise was, you don't have to go it alone. Now, that's one type of faith. The other type of faith, I would just call it a freestanding faith. A freestanding faith does not consider external circumstances, whether life is good or life is bad, whether you're taking a right turn or a left turn or going straight ahead. It does not get in the way of trusting God. Matter of fact, when life goes south, people with freestanding faith actually tend to lean in to God even more, which is counterintuitive. I just got to trust God because I have no control. They see the circumstances in their lives through the lens of Jesus' love. That's what a freestanding faith does, but makes no discernment of God's love or hate based on the things going on in their lives. I mean, clearly, this is where we need to grow towards. And I was thinking about it just this week. I mean, some of you know. I mean, this week we had two cars break down in our family this week. Two. Never in the history of my life have I ever had two cars go down at once. Rachel's car literally died the moment she pulled into the driveway last Saturday when she got back from driving from Southern California home. The car lasted all the way to the driveway, and then it died. And then on Wednesday, my car died in San Jose. Now, you could look at that and you go, so a circumstantial faith would say, God, why are you doing this to us? You know, we don't want to spend all that money on two cars. One's bad enough, but why two and why now? Couldn't have one waited until the next paycheck? But we weren't that way at all. Matter of fact, we were both thankful that the car stopped working when they did and where they did. That we were safe, that we weren't on the highway, that we weren't far from home or far from help. We were both safe and in a safe place. So we were actually very thankful that God kept us safe from harm by having these cars break down where they did. Now, we don't think God caused that, but we're glad that God had a hand in keeping us safe. And at the same time, because it's real life, we weren't happy about the repair bills either. But we didn't question why God was doing what God was doing. We thank God that it happened in the right place. The way I see things is that God often works in small ways. Often. If we're looking for those things, we actually will see them. And every so often, God will do something big. Small things, often. Big things, more rare, but they happen. Don't let the circumstances of your life dictate your trust level with God. Our faith should be freestanding, because sometimes life will be unfair and scary and full of change and sad. And God reminds those who are struggling that He cares. And often those reminders, I would call them God sightings or even miracles. Maybe you heard on July 1st about the tragic death of Tyler Skaggs of the Anaheim Angels. Died in his hotel room in Texas, like I said, July 1st. And so after the All-Star break, which just happened, Friday night was the first home game of the Angels since their teammate's death. And so what they did, it was kind of a night to honor him. And so what they did was they all wore his number, 45, to pay tribute to him because he was a great teammate. At least that's what they say. They let his mom throw out the first pitch. What an honor to lift her up. Their star player, if you don't follow baseball, their star player is a fellow by the name of Mike Trout. He hit the first home run of the game 450 feet, which is funny because Tyler Skaggs' number is 45. Doesn't end there. The pitching staff was exceptional. They threw a combined no-hitter, which is not an easy feat, by the way. If you don't follow it, having a no-hitter throughout nine innings is not an easy thing. Doesn't happen all that often. And a combined no-hitter with two or three pitchers is even more difficult. Matter of fact, the last combined no-hitter thrown by multiple pitchers in a baseball game in California was July 13th, 1991. Which, by the way, happens to be the day that Tyler Skaggs was born. So after celebrating their win and honoring their teammate, they took off their jerseys and put them on the pitcher's mound. Now, one could look at this, and you could say, this is coincidence fueled by adrenaline. But those of us who know God also know that God doesn't even believe in coincidences at all. So Friday night, in front of a packed home crowd, God brought a lot of peace to a bunch of people who were sad, even fans. And through the events of that game, people saw, or it got a sense of at least, that there's something more than just this life, that someone from above is looking down on them. So I would tell you, whatever's going on in your life, good, bad, or ugly, remember that Jesus walks with us. And by the way, that is exactly what I learned at Vacation Bible School this week. Amen.